Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Sophie, and I know Tobias is going to join us very, very soon. I'm checking with him. But this is the beauty of doing a show about... Oh, here he is. Okay. Hi, Tobias. Hey.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can. Sorry. I was like, okay. Where did Tobias go?
I'm sorry. I'm here.
No.
I got disconnected.
Yeah. Hi.
Hello,
how
everybody.
Are you?
Hi. Great. How are you doing? Hi, everybody.
Good. I was just about to say this is the beauty of doing a show about what's so bad, because usually every time I do a show or a video or a Google Hangout about what's so bad, something bad happens.
Of course.
Of course. It's so funny.
Isn't that great?
But you totally fucked that and you showed up anyway. So I love that. Thank you for being here.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
So the topic today is it's so bad, it's good. And I just really liked the idea that we kind of like see things as bad, but actually somebody else could see them as good. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We decide something is bad. And I was thinking we can maybe start with examples to show people what we're talking about. Because this morning, so you know how it was raining a lot? Like a couple of weeks ago, and we were in LA, it was raining a lot. And I drove in an area that I've never driven in before. And I made a turn and I saw this light flash. And I was like, oh my gosh, I think I just got like one of those video cameras that, you know, that takes your picture. I'm like, I think I just got a ticket. And for sure, today I got in the mail that, you know, I got a ticket, and it's a very, very expensive ticket. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, okay, so I can tweak out. That's one option. And what actually is right about this that I'm not seeing? So that's the question that you and I, we ask when something shows up that's not to our liking.
So that's great. You went right into the question.
Well,
that's great.
I had a little freak out moment.
Well, that's good, but as long as you don't stay there. And
yeah.
So it's extensive. Was it a red light ticket?
Say that again?
Did you go through the intersection? Did you go through a red light?
Not through a red light, no. It was a...
Okay.
It was a turning right, like you were not allowed to turn right at that place.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah, those are.
So that was.
I found one.
But it was raining on top of that, so I was not really paying attention to a very different sign. So the first thing that was right about this is that now I'm going to pay attention to a lot more signs than usual, which will probably prevent me from having other tickets in the future. So that's the first thing that's going to show up for me. The second thing, of course, is that I don't live in that area. So my ticket is actually going to support the area that I don't live in, where I don't pay taxes. So it's actually going to contribute to that city. So I could look at it that way and, you know, feel good that, that this money is going to contribute to that city. And then the other thing is, I wonder what I would have spent that money on otherwise. Because I have to spend it on this, maybe I'm not going to do something foolish, or I'm not going to do something that I'm going to regret. Like, what is it? What is it that I, by spending this money on this ticket, what is that going to create in my universe, you know?
Yeah. And what's so great is that you didn't go into, like, the wrongness of you, like so many of us would do. And, yeah. And start defining ourselves as so many different words I probably shouldn't say on the radio.
Well, I grew up with a dad who, like, he would freak out. If he found out that I had this ticket, he would, like, be so upset with me, freak out.
Okay.
But I also saw what that stress did to his body. And I always promised myself that I would never be as stressed as my dad. So for me... That's kind of like, you know, why go into that and create stress on my body or create drama with my life? I don't really need that. So I'd rather. And also, you know what that energy is? This is so awesome, actually. So I'm going to say out loud. So the ticket is $490. So what energy do I have to be somebody who can pay $490 and not blink an eye, like not care that I just spent $490? I mean, I care about the money, but what if it didn't impact anything? What if I could wholly easily afford $490?
That's great. And, you know, it's so great because you're showing how not to go into the wrongness of you about that ticket, and you're showing a different way, a different possibility of looking at that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I do like that.
And it's awesome that you had that awareness at that young age to see your father's body go through that stress and to say to yourself, I'll never do that. I'll never do that to myself.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, I think it's I think it's possible for a lot of us to be addicted to the wrongness of you. Like whatever happens,
yes,
it is you that's wrong. And, you know, addiction to the wrongness of us as well as the addiction to judgment are the primary addictions according to the addiction experts. If we weren't addicted to the judgment, could we judge ourselves to be even wrong? Could right or wrong even be applied in to the wrongness? That's a question I
say that again.
Present. Well, if we weren't addicted to that judgment, could we judge ourselves to be wrong? Or could right or wrong even be applied to such wrongness? So, like, you know, like the belief that no matter what happens, we are wrong is really an addictive, compulsive, and obsessive point of view. Whenever people have to prove something about themselves, they most often believe that they're really wrong. So, like, if you ever notice, like, how many people desire to be right at any cost or sometimes even dead? Like, look, that's what's behind religions and wars. Many people are dying just to be right. And so to be right, the addiction to be right, to avoid being wrong, is even a source of all of our arguments.
Right.
Yes. You see where I'm going with this? I mean,
I mean, there's a saying people ask when you're in a relationship, they ask, would you rather be right or would you rather be loving? It's not my favorite saying because actually the two don't have to be opposite each other. But I do like the idea that if you are fighting for your rightness, you're actually not allowing others to be everything they could be, and you're not allowing yourself to be everything you could be, because being wrong is part of who you be. Sometimes you're wrong and sometimes you're right. So if you're always fighting for being right, or if you're always blaming yourself for being wrong, then you're actually preventing all of you to show up. So that's very interesting that you said that. I really like this topic, and also, I really like that, how if we force ourselves to be right, then it just kills every possibility with other people.
Yeah. And how often do you look at everything that's right about you as well?
Well, how often do you look? I'm asking you, Tobias. How often do you look for what's right about you?
Well, I try to be aware of that. So I ask that question a lot these days. So because I know a lot of times, I know in my past, I didn't have say that question, and I would almost never do that. So, like, looking at what's right about us is not something that we're generally encouraged to do or even to ask, let alone. So
that's true.
It seems like the idea that by focusing on what's wrong, we'll be motivated that will make us to be more motivated or to be better or better ourselves. But how well does that really work? When someone points out our faults, does that create a desire to like want to move ahead or excel, or does that make you want to retreat or even give up? Like I know like many churches and even spiritual groups, they focus on, let's say, sins are being unbalanced. And even schools tend to label students as bad if they don't follow the school rules or come up with appropriate answers. So when we buy that idea that we should focus on what's wrong with us, it sets up a pattern of always looking at the negative and really discounting the positive. And this creates such a distorted picture of ourselves that it's difficult to even begin to create the life we desire. So many people decide that they're not worthy or deserving of a better life just because of that.
Go ahead. Sorry, I thought you were done. Go ahead.
Well, earlier I mentioned that was really neat that you went right into the question, because I think that was like the key to you pulling away from that the ticket, the energy of that ticket that could really could have sort of, it could have really, you could have really gone a different direction with that ticket.
So right.
You said you kind of puffed and puffed in a minute there, but you're able to go right into the question. And
right.
I think questions are so powerful, and I thought that was really cool that you did that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So I would love to take an example, if you have one, and if you don't, I can probably come up with one, of something that people make themselves wrong for that is actually what's right about them.
Oh, gosh. Like examples. I mean, people a lot of times say, why aren't they making enough money? Or why aren't they losing enough weight? Or why am I not, say, mom, maybe be saying, why am I not managing my children better? Or,
right.
I mean, those statements and questions tend to make you contract and doubt yourself. So, and that's kind of the point. When you buy into other people's ideas, and if that's somebody else saying that to you, and what's wrong with you and what you need to do to correct it, you have to repress and disallow all that you truly really are, all the greatness of you. And then it makes you controllable. But the good news is that really all of this wrongness is a lie and it's all changeable. But yeah, we do go into that really quickly. People go and look in the mirrors and they see something that, they imagine something that they, a lot of times I think it really doesn't exist, but they see it. They're so into seeing the wrongness of them. They've been taught that, and they've been brought up that way a lot of times, and they immediately go into judging themselves.
Okay, so let's take an example of I did not make enough money, or I'm not making enough money. So
yeah.
I'm wrong for not making enough money. So what's right about me that I'm not seeing while making not enough money? So what do you get? Like what would usually come up for people that's right about them in making that, or that's right about not making enough money?
Well, that there'll be always more opportunity to make more money. They want to look at it like that.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome. I love that. So the possibility of making more money. So when you're not making enough money, then you actually go and look for, actually ask questions to create more money. That's brilliant. That's totally brilliant.
Yeah, that's
what else?
For a simple way of putting it. Well, what else can they, what other directions can they look at? Say you have a job and there's ways to move up, so to speak, the ladder. And so what would it take for you to move up the ladder? So there's that possibility.
What about the idea that sometimes people don't create enough money so that they don't do because they're comfortable that way, so they don't have to change anything in their life, and they don't have to
That's a
so
big
that's
one.
What's right. Yeah. So I actually see this a lot with clients that people say, well, I didn't want to have, you know, $100,000 debt. I'm like, well, but you did create it. So you may not have wanted it, but you created it for a reason. Now, the reason why you created it may not work for you anymore, but at some point it did, you know, and I'm going to be totally honest. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, so what if they created going into debt just to prove that they can get out of debt? So a lot of people make, say, $100,000 and they lose $100,000 and they make $100,000 and they lose $100,000. But so what if that's you just proving that you have the potency to make that kind of money?
That's fucking brilliant. So, so brilliant. Okay. So I hope everybody gets that. I hope everybody can hear that. And if you have missed that, go ahead and play it. Play the show again, because this is so good. This is so good. And the other thing that I wanted to say is there's nothing wrong with being comfortable. It's when we judge that being comfortable is wrong, or it's when we judge that we've chosen something that was wrong that we can't get out of it. Right. So people say, well, I chose death, or I chose to not have enough money. And that's when, if they make themselves wrong for it, that's when they actually cannot create anything different, because the wrongness will be very solid. But if they look at it and say, okay, so this is an opportunity for me to step into new capacities, like you just mentioned, then they actually are not making themselves wrong, and now they're able to get out of it. So it's so important, in, if you want something to change, to let go of the wrongness of you. That's what's going to create the momentum. That's what's going to create the movement forward to create something different.
Exactly.
Wow. This is so good. Yeah. Like, I wish I had that information when I started my business. Like, I really wish
Me too.
Because I made myself wrong so many times when I started my business.
Oh, yeah.
It's so phenomenal. Like, like, I, you know, I recently invited this person to be part of a class that she's been saying she wanted to take for a while. And she said, yes, she was very excited. And I just sent her the form to register for the class. And she's like, oh, I didn't realize it was next week. What I realized what happened is I gave her a date that was much later, and then I sent her an email with a different date in the email. But when I talked to her, I forgot to mention that the email was a different date, right? And she did not actually open the email because she thought she knew what the dates were because I had told her. So now she said, you know, now she's like struggling to actually come to the class because she didn't plan on that in her calendar. And I realized that I did this because there is a part of me that, I mean, in all honesty, if I can work with this person and actually get her to change and move forward, I feel like I could I could change anybody. I mean, I love her, but she's quite a interesting client. So for me to actually accept, I mean, like for me to be, okay, I'm going to create the situation where she's actually showing up in class, is going to demand of me more energy, more presence, and also the willingness to be wrong, because I know at some point I'm going to make myself wrong. So that was fascinating for me to be like, why didn't I just tell her instead of sending the email? Why didn't I just tell her that I changed the dates? And I realized it was because I was a little bit challenged by having her in class. So
that's
how
a great
cool
idea.
Is that?
That's really
how cool.
How cool
is that?
So when you mentioned about people, like, for instance, saying that why aren't they making enough money, or are they going into like those, what are the ways out of that, or like, why am I not losing weight, or whatever it might be, what can we do as far as getting out of that type of energy quickly? Is it questions? We mentioned this earlier that, like, instead of saying that, can we say something like, what's right about me that I'm not getting, or what's right about you, you're not getting.
Definitely.
And will that open up more possibilities? Because when we ask a question, we open up a lot more, I think, more possibilities that were never available before. So
I actually go a little bit further than that. I have a three-step process. So before I ask questions, I actually stop the judgment. Because if you ask a question but you continue having the judgment, your question, your awareness is going to be colored by the judgment. So I actually, the first thing is I stop the judgment. And there's a skit with the Bump New Heart where this woman comes and asks, you know, this therapist to help her with her claustrophobia. And he tells her, he says, it's very simple, two words, stop it. And, you know, it's supposed to be funny, but I use this all the time because unless you actually choose to stop the judgment, the judgment is going to be present in your life no matter what you do and say. The first thing you do is you have to stop the judgment.
So
Just stop it. Okay. So that's the first step. The second step, like you said, is asking questions. And the third step is following the energy. So when you ask a question, like suddenly you're going to want to go get a cup of coffee at Starbucks. And you're like, why do I want to go do that? I just said I don't have enough money to pay my bills. And now I'm going to go spend $5 on a fancy cup of coffee. Why am I doing that? You have to follow the energy. It could be that on the way to Starbucks, you see a store that's looking for help and you've always wanted to work in that store. You have no idea. But unless you actually follow the energy, asking questions, it does nothing. It will help a little bit, but it would actually not create the change you're looking for. So step one, stop it. Step two, ask questions. Step three, follow the energy.
That's great. And how about this? How about if like you're a mom and how do you stop judging yourself as like, say, a bad mom? So what if your willingness to be a bad mom would be a great tool to keep you out of that judgment? So I know it sounds a little crazy, but
no, it's a great tool. Like
it's a willingness to be a bad mom, the willingness to be judged by others. So what would it take to be a bad mom? See, because the reason why I bring this up, because somebody recently was talking about being a bad mom, and I said, well, what would it take to be a bad mother? And I don't think she understood what I was saying, but you know, so I think if you receive those judgments that you're a bad mom, or and you just realize that it's just someone else's interesting point of view, then you can have or be that great mother that you've always known you could be. You see what I'm saying? So like,
I think we need to go back a little bit to the situation of why they're so afraid of being bad parents.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to be two situations. There's going to be the situation where it's because they don't want other people to judge them. So they have to look at that. And then the situation where they don't want their kids to feel like to be bad or to have a bad experience or to not be happy. You know, as a mom, I want my kids to be happy. So then they look at that. Because when people judge you and it impacts you, it hurts you, it's because there's a little piece of you that thinks they're right. So that's when you're like, okay, so what's right about me as a parent that I'm not seeing? And what's wrong about me as a parent that I'm not seeing? And then I know I'm jumping around, but I feel like you have information you want to give us. So for the kids, for the kids, I actually tell my kids all the time, I say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry to be such a bad mom. And I say it with all honesty because sometimes I feel like I'm a bad mom. And they actually say, it's okay. Or they're like, no, you're not a bad mom. We just don't like it when you do this or you do that, whatever. So they actually involve them. And they actually can start seeing how ridiculous and how a good or bad mom means absolutely nothing. It means nothing. Because sometimes they're going to think I'm the best mom, and sometimes they're going to think I'm the worst mom. So it actually means nothing. So what's right about me as a parent that I'm not seeing, or what's wrong about me as a parent that I'm not loving? That's going to be my new question.
Because it won't stick to you because you're already willing to receive them. And you have that allowance now for what they think. And it's just interesting. It's just like an interesting point of view, basically.
Exactly.
So you never need to resist or even react to any of the judgments.
That's true.
Or make your choices wrong. You can just choose how to parent for you and create something greater than you could ever imagine. So I think that's a great tool. You never have to fit into this reality's insanity about parenting. And I was having a conversation with a new mom. She just had a baby. And she was telling me about how everybody's telling her that she has to, even during delivery, how she needs to deliver the baby. Or how, when she should go to work, when she should not go to work, or back to work, she said that it seems like a lot of people were coming with so many, I took it advice, but then I started feeling like I was being judged.
What did you say?
I was just saying, if you make the judgments real at all, you can never see what actually really work for you and for your child. So you stop being you when you listen to other people's judgments, and you discount whatever you know, which you already know what it is to be a good mom, to avoid, and to avoid the judgment. So if you're willing to be a bad mom, then any judgments you get from, say, even your kids or your neighbors or your mom or your mother or whatever it might be, it just won't be able to stick anymore. Like I said, because you're already willing to receive them, and you have that allowance. So you can just make it an interesting point of view.
So I just want to tell you that this is only a 30-minute show, so we only have 2 minutes left, unfortunately.
Oh, my gosh, already?
But I know.
I feel like we're just getting into it.
It's just an amazing show. I love it. So what I want to tell people is we didn't go into the it's so bad, it's good part. But if you also ask this question, what's wrong about me what's wrong about me that I'm not loving? I think that's also a cool question. So you can start seeing how to love those parts that you decided are wrong about you. I really want to, because, like, for instance, because you've been in my house that I'm messy, but I discovered that for me, messy is organization. Like, this is how I organize my life. So to me, like, what's wrong about being messy that I'm not loving is because other people think it doesn't work, but actually for me it kind of works because I know where my things are. Anyway, and that's to be discussed. I know I can also already hear in your head what you're thinking.
Well, no, I think I told you. I said, hey, if that works for you, then it works for you, right? I have.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But this is such an amazing show. And I'm so grateful that we had this conversation. I learned a lot, and I feel really great. So I hope everybody listens to this show more than once, because I think we've given some really good information. Do you want to say anything else, Tobias?
Oh, I just want to say thank you for having me on the show, and thank you all for listening. And I hope we were able to maybe create a different possibility for you guys, and live in the question.
I love it. Live in the question. That's the perfect way of ending this show. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.